We're in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. We've come back to the subject of patience. We said patience is a grace, meaning it's a God-given ability to keep going or to keep on keeping on without fainting or quitting or becoming discouraged or falling into despair. And there are many things that would seek to cause us to faint, but the Bible says, let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And we talked a little bit about what patience is. We talked about some of the different sources of suffering that require are being patient. We need to be patient toward God when He chastens us. We need to be patient toward sinful men and devils when they persecute us. And then we need to be patient toward our brethren when they wrong us and act maybe other than what you would expect from the brethren when they're acting the way they should. Tonight, I wanted to look at another area in which we need patience, and I think this is one we could probably all very well identify with. It's those times when God seems to delay helping us, when we really seem to need His help, and we seem to need it right now. And so we pray, but our prayers seem to go unanswered, and we work, and our labors seem to go unrewarded, and we tend to grow impatient. Why isn't God answering my prayer? Why isn't anything I'm doing accomplishing what I wanted to accomplish? Why isn't anything going anywhere? Why isn't anything happening? Where's God? You know, has He forgotten to be gracious? Has He removed His loving kindness from me forever? Will He never bless me again? We get those kind of thoughts. I saw one in Psalms in chapter 13, where David seems to be praying in that frame of mind. He says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" In other words, evidently it had been long, or at least David felt it was long, and he's thinking, I can't go any further. I need help now, immediate help. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" Day after day after day, nothing changes. The situation either stays the same or seems to get worse. And all I feel is sorrow in my heart. And my tears are my meat continually, that kind of thing. "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. For Lord, if you don't do something soon, I'm going to fall, and all my enemies are going to feel like they have won." And so again, where's God when you feel you need Him and He doesn't seem to be there for you? Well, it's times like that that what we need to do is to submit to God, to accept His timing, and to keep on doing our duty and trusting in Him. Psalm 37 has a lot to say about this, all through the psalm. It's telling us to rest in the Lord, trust in the Lord, wait for the Lord. and he'll come through. Well, it starts out, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." They're not getting away with it. They're not going to be able to go on forever as they are, seemingly invincible and constantly, you know, on top of things and always winning. No, that won't continue that way forever. Trust in the Lord and do good. There's the answer. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Notice, rest and wait patiently. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now, it's hard to rest and wait when somebody's doing something bad to you and hurting you. Well, that's when you blow your stack, right? No. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. See, we get all fretful, then we take it in our own hands, and then we sin to get what we want, to have the situation, you know, corrected. It's not the way to do it. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Be patient, just a little longer, and God's going to turn this whole thing around. In his own time, and in his own way, and by his own power, not by our trying to take it in our own hands. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Notice verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And then the last two verses, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Wait, rest, trust. Don't put forth your hands to sin. Don't fret and worry. Don't become angry and try to take vengeance. Let the Lord work it out. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Now, don't rush into some conflict, argument or any kind of fight with other people. Wait and let the Lord take care of it. Chapter 19, verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. See, the opposite of trust and patience and resting is fretting and impatience and hasting. And whenever we take things in our own hands and try to make them happen, force the issue, that's when problems come about. Now, God tells us to be patient when? When there are no problems and everything's going fine? No. The whole purpose of patience, remember, is the ability to bear up under pressure. Well, then we need to be patient when there is pressure. Romans 12, verse 12 tells us when to be patient. I'm really a very patient person if I don't have any problems and no one gives me a hard time. You ever thought of yourself that way? It's only when I have a lot of troubles and people get my way and cross me that I get impatient. Otherwise, I do pretty well. Well, that's not doing well at all. The very time we're to be patient is when? Rejoicing in hope. This is Romans 12:12. Patient in tribulation. Tribulation is affliction and suffering and trouble and very severe, intense trouble. That's the time we need to exercise patience. That is what patience is given us for. But I don't feel patient, so when the tribulation comes, it seems like I always fail. I get impatient, and then I feel bad because I know I didn't do what was right. Well, that very tribulation that we're to be patient in is working in our lives through God to make us patient. Sometimes the very reason we feel impatient in tribulation is because God is stretching us and He's putting a little heavier load on us than we've ever had to deal with before, so that we feel it more and we feel like we're being impatient. But it's the same thing as exercising. When you pick up a bigger weight, your muscles seem to hurt more and you have to try and work at it harder, and yet that's the very means to make yourself grow in strength. Well, the way we grow in patience is by God giving us those tribulations. Romans chapter 5 gives us the process. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have access into this grace that God has brought us through His Son. And by faith in Christ, we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Right? In other words, heaven is going to be wonderful, and we look forward to that with all our hearts, and it brings us great joy to think of it. But here's the question. What about in the meanwhile? What about here and now, when things are not perfect and are not wonderful, and we have all kinds of troubles and enemies and sufferings? Well, He says, not only so. Because God's grace is not only for eternity, it's for now, and it gives us what we need to get through whatever we experience in this world. He says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Along with rejoicing in the hope of heaven, we can rejoice in tribulation in the world. Knowing, all right, because of what God has taught us, we know that tribulation works patience. In other words, patience is such a valuable and necessary grace that if it takes tribulation to get it, that tribulation is well worthwhile. And it's a good thing. And then it doesn't stop there. As we exercise patience in tribulation, that brings experience. The more we have the opportunity to prove God's grace and power in our lives, the more we see how faithful and capable He is, and that makes us more strong. We grow in our experience, and experience brings hope. In other words, it strengthens not only our hope of heaven, but our expectation that God will be there for us and give us what we need, and He'll always, you know, help us in our times of trouble, because we'll have seen that, and we'll realize that this is how God works. And then the hope will not make ashamed. You know, Paul says, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Why should we be ashamed of sufferings for Christ? We shouldn't, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit gives us the sense of God's love, reassures us that God loves us, and that we're His, and He's taking care of us, and someday we'll be with Him. And so we are not ashamed of our hope, even though it brings us many earthly sufferings and shames as far as the world's concerned. All right. But as wonderful as all these things are, our greatest help in suffering is to look to the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth for the express purpose of suffering. Yes, He left us an example that we should follow in His steps, but also so that we could have a sympathetic high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and so that we could see how Jesus suffered and how he handled his sufferings and how God was with him when he suffered and how he was faithful and obedient in his sufferings, and that we can have an example to follow. That's what Romans 12 says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, all of Hebrews 11 talks about the faith and patience of the saints of old. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Or that's what gives us our trouble. Unnecessary weights and besetting sins. And of course, impatience is a sin. So he says, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, we're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon. You know what a marathon is? You've got to get ready for a long, hard, grueling run. It's not just a 5-minute, you know, or some of these sprints are 40 seconds or less. But you know what I'm saying? You have to be ready to just run and keep running, and that race is as long as our life. And how do we run? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Right? He had the joy promised after his sufferings. He would enter his glory. And so he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he has entered his reward, as God promised. He's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Whenever you're suffering, think of Jesus. Think of what he went through. And learn from his example. Well, he had a joy set before him, and so do we. And that's another help for us to be patient in suffering. Now, if we thought this is all there was, why should I go out of my way to suffer by being a Christian? You know, what good would that be? No, we have an eternity of joy set before us when we're going to be with the Lord. And so any suffering we go through this in this life is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so another help for patience in suffering is our hope of Christ's return, when he's going to deliver us from all suffering forever. 1 Thessalonians talks about how hope is a help to patience. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Notice, patience that comes from our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You know, the great thing about the Christian is when he says he has a hope, he doesn't mean it like the world does. Maybe I'll go to heaven, maybe I won't when I die. We know we're going to heaven when we die. That's God's promise to us as believers. It's just a matter of waiting until God's time to take us to heaven comes. And so we hope. That means we look forward, or we wait. We expect that time when we go to be with our Lord. And that hope is what develops and strengthens patience in our lives, because we have many difficult things to go through in the meanwhile. 2 Timothy 2:12. Paul said there, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Notice, it's hard to suffer, but think about what God promises us. We'll also reign with him. If we deny him, though, he also will deny us. In other words, if we think, oh, I can't take the suffering, it's not worth it, I'm going to throw the towel in and forget the whole thing. Well, You may avoid some temporal suffering, but what about eternal suffering? That's far worse. Revelation 21 tells us, if you're willing to suffer for Christ now, He will bring you to a place where your sufferings will be no more. We see the eternal state brought before us. And verse 4 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Perfect bliss. Perfect exemption from all suffering and pain and sorrow and loss. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 7 says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the promise to those who overcome, those who patiently endure their sufferings for Christ. Well, what's another thing that helps us through our sufferings? We can know that God is using our sufferings for our good, and He rewards us even in this life. There are rewards for faithfulness to Christ that brings us into suffering for Him that the world has no idea of. There are joys and delights. You know, there is God's special comfort and favor and presence that a suffering saint experiences that you cannot know any other way or any other time. And God usually uses our sufferings to make us more holy and then to promote us, make us more effective for Him. In other words, these sufferings are a training to fit us for God's use. But God rewards us, yes, in heaven, but even in this life, there are rewards for the righteous. God blesses us if we are faithful to Him. James 5 uses Job as an example of that. Whoever suffered like Job. But look at how richly God blessed him. Verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Right, so James brings another example before us. Look at the prophets, what they went through for being willing to stand up and proclaim God's truth. They suffered terribly. And yet how God was with them to bless them and to deliver them and to vindicate them. Then he goes on, Behold, we count them happy which endure. Oh, think of that. Do you consider someone who suffers for Christ happy or miserable? Do you think they're happy or miserable if they're suffering for Christ? Endure means bears up under the trial and is patient and goes through it faithfully. Anyone who does that is happy. How can you say that? Well, look at Job. He's a perfect example. You've heard of the patience of Job. That's become a proverb. He's as patient as Job. And you have seen. What did God do in Job's life? Well, you saw the end of the Lord. Now you look at the sufferings. That's not the end. That's, the, you know, in the middle. Don't go by what you see right now. Wait till it's all over. Wait till the end. See what God is going to bring out of this. It's going to be good. What is it that the end of the Lord is? Well, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. That's our Lord. And we can trust Him to do what's right for us and to bring us a happy end. What's it say? Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Well, God says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you an expected end. God has good things in store and in mind for His own. Even though the way to those things is suffering. Look at Joseph. Man, how that man suffered. Where'd he end up? Second to Pharaoh on the throne. And the sufferings were the way to that exaltation. And Joseph was faithful all along the way. And we need to be too. It's only by patience that we can possess our souls or keep our souls in a right spiritual state before God and in the condition He wants them in. That's Luke 21:19. In other words, if you lose your patience, you lose your soul. It's by patience we possess our soul. It keeps us from sin and unbelief and fretting and other evils. If we lose our patience, we're going to fall into all kinds of evils. Jesus said in Luke 21:19, after he's talking about their sufferings and how he's going to take care of them, they're not a hair of your head will perish. Then he says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. You want to keep your soul unto everlasting life? You need to be patient. And then as you're patient, as you continue to trust God and obey Him, no matter how hard it gets, then you're able to bring forth fruit for God. If we're impatient, we lose the ability to bear fruit for God because, again, we take things in our own hands, we start rushing around, we lose our faith, we get our eyes off the Lord, we start trying to take things in our own hands and make them happen, and no more fruit. All we see is bad, bad fruit. You know, our own works, which are not good works, works of the flesh, which means strife and confusion and all kinds of turmoil and messes. Look at Luke 8:15. Luke 8:15, it says, in the parable of the four soils, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Right? The ground has to be good. God has to prepare that soil, give us an honest and good heart. And then we hear the word, that's how the seed is planted, and then we keep it. We believe it and obey it. And then what happens? And they bring forth fruit, how? With patience. Oh boy, oh boy, look at those little round knobs on my tree. That must be fruit. I can't wait to pick it. Go ahead and pick it. Guess what just happened? You lost your harvest. If you just let those little round knobs grow and mature and ripen, you would have had a great harvest of fruit. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Don't try to pick the fruit when it's green. Let it ripen until the proper time. We have faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation, but patience always has to be added to our faith. And the reason for that is, wherever God gives faith, He always tries that faith. And so we need patience to get through those trials of our faith. That's what James 1 says, verse 4 and 5. Now we better start with 3. How can I count it all joy when I fall into various trials? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God tests our faith. He sends us trials and troubles to prove our faith, to purge our faith, to strengthen and increase our faith. And then that way we can develop patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There's God saying, you need to see this process through. Don't get all upset and don't get all worried and don't fall apart in the middle, because you'll never become the complete person God wants you to be in Christ. The way we have to become strong and mature and grow up into Christ is by patience in the trials that God brings to our faith. And that's the only way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul's talking about how the faith of the Thessalonians is growing exceedingly. And their charity for one another is abounding. And then he says in verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. I wonder who, somewhere out there, hears about your or my trials and troubles, and they're standing up in that church or in those churches and saying, did you hear about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or the Free Grace Baptist Church? They're really going to it, but boy, they're trusting the Lord and they're not quitting and they're glorifying and praising God and they just keep on keeping on. And boy, isn't it a wonderful thing to see? And they're, you know, can you imagine other people glorying in us because we are being patient and trusting in our persecutions and tribulations that we endure? That's what was happening with the Thessalonians. Are we different than they are? No, he tells them, this is God's righteous judgment. Lord, why are you doing this to me? This doesn't seem right. No, it's his righteous judgment. It's showing that he counts us worthy of the kingdom of God for which we also suffer. If you're going to be found worthy to be in that kingdom, then you need to show that you're worthy to suffer for that kingdom. And that's not a shame. The apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we should see it as, an honor. And look at the great reward, verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. In other words, you'll have rest from all your labors and all your sufferings at his return. But if we do not exercise patience in our persecutions and in our tribulations, that will lead to renouncing our faith. That's why patience is so important. We'll renounce our faith if we don't have patience. Hebrews 10. Verse 35, Paul's talking about the sufferings the Hebrews had gone through for their faith. And he tells them, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't give up on your faith, because it has a great recompense of reward. You know, the light afflictions for a moment are working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And he says, for you have need of patience. In other words, the only way you'll ever see the reward is to be patient. So that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have to do and bear what God has for you first. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. All right? By faith we will persevere. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Keep on believing on until our soul is finally and ultimately saved. So that's why perseverance in faith is necessary. Without it, we cannot be saved. What's the difference between a Christian and an apostate? In a past state, it sometimes says, I can't keep it up, I can't keep going, it's too much, and they quit. A Christian will continue no matter how hard it gets to the end. What was the difference between Judas and Peter? Judas was an unbeliever. He went out and hung himself. Peter, he was a true believer. He did deny the Lord, but he repented, and he continued on to the end of his life in faithful service to Christ. Through much suffering. See, that's why Jesus said, you remember Matthew 10 again, verse 22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now, how well could you take that if everybody hates you? Everybody hates you. I mean, actively hates you. Not just sits home and says, I hate so-and-so. They're a Christian. But does everything they can to hurt you and harm you. Would that be hard to take? That's what Jesus said would happen. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's where perseverance and faith, you know, faith and patience is necessary. Romans 2:7 describes the person who's going to be saved as a person of patience. He says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing. In other words, it's not easy to do right. It's going to bring trouble and suffering and difficulty. But he says, those who by patient continuance and well-doing, they seek for glory and honor and immortality, to them God will give eternal life. In other words, with the hope of heaven, we keep on doing what God calls us to do, suffering whatever he sends our way, looking forward to being with him in glory. But if we lack patience, then we'll turn from our profession in difficult times and we will renounce our faith and fall away. That's why patience is absolutely essential. And that's why Peter says you need to add, give all diligence to add to your faith, patience. So God, make us a patient people. And give us the grace to go through whatever he sees fit to send our way. Not just, you know, by gritting our teeth and bearing it, but even with joy and contentment. For his name's sake. And by his grace we can. And that will bring him glory, which is why it's so important that we do that. The glory of God depends upon it. So may God give us all patience and be diligent to add to your temperance, patience.